Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, February 12th, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Valuing Their Voice. Danville students hold ICE demonstration. This is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. And there's a picture of Danville youth lined the streets for a demonstration Wednesday. Around 500 students participated in the peaceful protest. Students walked out of class Wednesday to highlight their voices on the recent actions of ICE. Around 10:55 a.m., students gathered with signs and walked out of Danville High School to the corner of Fairchild and Vermilion Streets. One of the demonstrators, Maya Roberson, and her sister, Malia Roberson, spent their Tuesday afternoon making signs for the protest with a few of their friends. The girls stayed up until 10 p.m. to work on posters following school and rehearsals after being inspired by their friends. I have friends who are children of immigrants, first generation, and right now they're too scared to go to Chicago to visit their family because of everything that's going on, Malia said. I felt like even though that we're a small town, we're not as big as Chicago, we should still speak up for what we feel is right. Roberson is concerned that ICE tactics make their way further south in the state. We're starting to get a big Latina and Latino community, Roberson said. ICE is hitting cities that are 3 hours away from us as the walkouts are just happened. So I felt we should treat it to Danville as well. And this is impacting her classmates as well, as she says one of her friends isn't going on a field trip due to the fear. My best friend is really scared to go right now, Roberson said, about a school trip planned to Chicago. My friend was telling me about this, like even being to show how a protest like that we're doing something might show up, or somebody might show up, or somebody might have received words and come down. Both Maya and Malia Roberson started the process for this event after being inspired by other students in other cities. I think it was when we saw Urbana do it, she said. Now we'll be a good time for ourselves, Roberson said. We just started off by telling people that we had plans to do it and to stay on the lookout for information that was coming out. And then from there, we started texting people exactly, telling them, keep it just free, spread the information, via word of mouth, and try to collect support that way. In doing so, the girls said on Tuesday evening, they anticipated about 50 students or more to show up for the midday protest. In the end, participants said there was likely closer to 500, as the posters the girls created quite a few late Tuesday evening. We have one that says history repeats itself if we stay silent, Roberson said, and another one that says the president has 34 felonies, but you're calling working citizens criminals. Another poster said we all bleed the same blood. Another one says that this isn't about politics, it's about humanity. Following the event, the District 118 Superintendent John P. Hart sent out a letter describing it. This demonstration was organized independently by students without involvement or direction from Danville High School or District 118, Hart said. Students remained off property throughout the event. Law enforcement was present only to ensure student safety, and school staff maintained a distant, unobtrusive presence for the same purpose. Hart said the actions are worth recognition. Our students understand their rights, they value their voices, and they care deeply about issues that impact their community and their world, Hart said. Their willingness to engage in civic expression reflects an important part of growing into thoughtful, informed citizens. Hart encouraged those who want to learn more to speak directly to the students. This moment belongs to them, Hart wrote. Next story is titled Save Act Narrowly Passes in the House, Representatives Respond, again written by Christy Jankowski. Following the narrow passage in the House of the Save America Act, representatives sent out statements of support. The act passed the House with 220 votes for yes, 208 votes for no, and 5 members not voting. Save strands for Safeguard stands for Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, and on congress.gov, the site says the bill in summary requires voters to show proof of U.S. citizenship. If passed, it would require every state to take steps to create a program. It also contains multiple criminal penalties for those who register voters. Those who register voters, it says, fails to present documentary proof of U.S. citizenship. Illinois Republican Congresswoman Mary Miller, District 15, voted for the act. Congress has a constitutional responsibility to secure our elections and ensure the voices of American voters are protected. That's why I was proud to vote to pass the Save America Act, Miller said. This bill ensures the only U.S. citizens can register and vote in federal elections. Over 80% of Americans support voter ID, including a majority of Democrats. Today, House Republicans delivered on that demand. Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Bard released a statement as well in support of the legislation. I voted for the Save America Act to secure our elections by ensuring only American citizens vote in our federal elections. Upholding the integrity of our elections is vital to our great republic and preserving the institutions that make our nation the freest, most prosperous country in the world, Baird said. This bill comes after the Biden administration let over 10 million illegal immigrants into our country. Many Democrat-run states have created opportunities where illegal immigrants could illegally register to vote. In some cases, non-citizens can vote in local elections. A large majority of Americans support voter ID requirements to vote. This legislation should not be partisan. This is simply a common sense measure to strengthen our election integrity and protect the will of the American people. The legislation, if passed, would require voters in the United States to show proof of citizenship to register to vote, as well as ID at the voting polls. Many proponents say this act would impact millions of eligible voters with the requirements. State Attorney General Kwame Raoul joined a coalition of 18 other states in opposing the legislation in March of 2025. I am urging congressional leadership to oppose the SAVE Act and maintain accessible voting rights for all eligible Americans. We should focus efforts on encouraging more Americans to participate in the democratic process. This measure does the opposite. Instead of disenfranchising legitimate voters, Raoul said in a letter addressing the issue in March. I am proud to join other attorney generals to protect voters' rights and ensure that eligible voters are not met with obstacles when they attempt to exercise their constitutional right to vote. Key obstacles, Raoul and others say, would be requiring expensive documentation, while also eliminating online voter registration in as many as 42 states. And for married women, birth certificates are not going to match their current names. It should also be noted that many of those adopted might have two birth certificates, adding to the confusions. And proponents say it would disenfranchise active duty members who more than likely cannot return to their local election offices while in service. It is unlikely the legislation will pass the Senate, where this is a majority of Democrats. Next story is titled Chick-fil-A is Coming to Danville, written again by Christy Jankowski. The wait is over. Danville will welcome Chick-fil-A. The site of the former Red Lobster will be transformed into Chicken Favorite. During Tuesday night's public committee meeting, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. confirmed that Chick-fil-A is coming. They have, in fact, signed a lease, Williams said. So excited about that moving forward. The good thing about Chick-fil-A, you know, whether you love it or hate it, it's the hardest franchise in America to get right now. The fact that we got it is a good thing for Danville and our developer, and it will it will actually likely lead to some more development in the community. The developer, Jason Gigot, was present at the December Public Works Committee meeting to discuss redeveloping the former Red Lobster site. Gigot is with Solution Group out of Northbrook. Our goal has always been to redevelop it in a first-class manner, long-term lease, Gigot said in December. While this will be Gigot's first development in Danville, he has been given other properties in need of a developer. We look forward to doing this one first and expanding and committing to the city and spending many dollars down here and look to continue that, Gigot said. The cost to tear down the former seafood restaurant that closed in May of 2024 is $80,000. Some of the possibilities besides Chick-fil-A were Panda Express, Raising Cane's, Texas Roadhouse, and Longhorn Steakhouse, among others. And there's a picture of the Red Lobster location at 3217 North Vermilion Street will be raised to make way for Chick-fil-A. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Catherine Jean Kitty Lee, 85, of Danville, passed away at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville on February 8th at 12:26 a.m. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 13th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Danville at 1930 North Bowman Avenue. Reverend James Yonkers will officiate. Burial will be in Lutheran Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Friday at the church. Memorials may be made in Catherine's memory to the Lutheran Cemetery in Danville, Illinois. And Gary L. Price, 66, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, passed away on February 8th. A celebration of life will be held at a later date in both Fort Worth, Indiana, and Danville, Illinois. Next story is titled Morris Named Illinois Regional President for Serve Bank. Special to Commercial News. Iroquois Federal and Serve Bank are pleased to announce that T.J. Morris, who currently serves as Executive Vice President, Chief Lending Officer, and Danville Market President at Iroquois Federal, has been appointed Illinois Regional President for Serve Bank effective on day one of the integration following Serve Bank's planned acquisition of Iroquois Federal in March of 2026. This leadership transition marks an important step with a shared commitment to community-focused service, strong customer relationships, and sustained organizational growth. Since announcing the acquisition in October, both institutions have been working to design the optimal organization structure in a manner that will serve our collective customers better while leveraging the unique capabilities and strengths with company offers. Morris has been a key contributor to Iroquois Federal's strategic direction and lending operations, demonstrating exceptional leadership, deep industry knowledge, and a strong dedication to the customers and communities the institution serves. In his new role with Serve Bank, Morris will oversee regional operations throughout Illinois, helping lead the integration efforts and support the execution of Serve Bank's regional strategy. We are excited to see TJ take this significant leadership role with Serve Bank, said Walter Chip Hasselbrink III, CEO and Board Chairman of Iroquois Federal. His expertise and vision have been instrumental to Iroquois Federal's success, and his deep roots in our communities reflect the strength of local leadership that has always set us apart. We are confident that he will continue to make a strong impact in this expanded capacity with Serve Bank. One of the things we value most about Iroquois Federal is their strong local leadership, stated Donald Saratoff, CEO of Serve Bank. TJ Morris has spent his career serving Iroquois communities, earning the trust of customers and colleagues alike. Appointing him as Illinois Regional President was a clear and natural progression. TJ understands the people, the culture, and the responsibility that comes with leading locally. With this decision, we're able to uphold our promise to our shared customers and maintain our commitment to our local communities. Following the close of SurBank's acquisition of Iroquois Federal, customers of both institutions are expected to benefit from expanded products, services, and branch access. The transition process remains on track, with both organizations working closely to maintain consistent service and support. On March 13th, Iroquois Federal will operate as the name of Iroquois Federal Savings and Loan Association, a division of SurBank N.A. Iroquois Federal Savings and Loan Association, headquartered in Watseka, Illinois, and SurBank N.A., headquartered in Oswego, Illinois, have entered into a definitive agreement under which SurBank N.A. will acquire Iroquois Federal Savings and Loan Association. The transaction is expected to close on March 12th of 2026. Until this transaction is completed, the institutions will continue to operate as separate independent banks. Next story is titled, DACC Honoring Black History Month Offering New Courses. Happy Valentine's Day. It may be cold outside, but things are heating up in the Danville Area Community College. We're gearing up for our second 8-week accelerated course that began March 9th. The March session includes a strong mix of transfer, business, technology, and career-focused options that don't have prerequisites to enroll. This is a great opportunity if you weren't quite ready to jump in immediately after the holidays. You may need to have a placement test, so it's strongly recommended you enroll as early as possible. Simply contact our academic advising office at 217-443-8750 to talk about the options available. The college is honoring Black History Month as well. We've had a food festival and a weekly trivia competition for our campus community, but we take it off campus Thursday, February 19th, with a musical celebration of Cedar and Smoke, kicking off our Spring Diversity Community Outreach Concert Series. Therapy will take the stage from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Danville native Aaron Aplus Wilson is band leader with LaJason Parker and Lamont Davis. Wilson is active in the Black music community and hosts a monthly show called Soul on Sunday that highlights African American music and culture. February is also National Financial Aid Awareness Month. This designation is a holdover from the years when the federal FAFSA financial aid form would open in February and is intended to bring attention to the financial aid and process. Nowadays, the FAFSA opens in late fall and uses that last year's tax information, so families no longer need to wait until February to get their ball rolling, but many still do. February is a traditional time for high school seniors to initiate the financial aid process. The month is also near the front end of scholarship application session. Here at DACC, the DACC Foundation scholarship process is in full swing. Access the single application at dacc.edu/scholarships. Be considered for any of the more than 850 scholarships valued at over $1 million awarded each year. For the past 4 years, every qualified student who applied and attended DACC received at least one scholarship, some receiving multiple scholarships. DACC Foundation scholarships are open to new, continuing, traditional, and returning students, so there is literally a scholarship for everyone. The deadline to apply is May 1st of 2026. Finally, we're in the final month of preparations for March Madness at DACC. The NJCAA Men's Division 2 National Basketball Tournament returns to Mary Miller Gym for the 33rd year, March 16th through the 21st. Before that grand event, the Men's Region 24 tournament comes to DACC March 6th and 7th. We look forward to having the community come out and support the teams once again next month. Kind of a slow news day, so we'll read an article titled Budget-Friendly Valentine Ideas. The National Retail Federation indicates Valentine's Day is the fifth largest spending event in the United States after the winter holidays and Mother's Day. Each February, people clamor to get gifts for their sweethearts and create romantic memories through fine dining and decadent desserts. According to Finder, a tool used to navigate complex decision-making processes, Americans were expected to spend a combined $50 billion on gifts and activities in 2021, with gifts averaging $187. Men tend to spend more than women on Valentine's Day. Everyone may be spending more on Valentine's Day this year due to inflation. In 2021, used cars and trucks, oil, meats and poultry, airline fares, and women's apparel were just some of the items that increased significantly in price. Finding ways to be frugal may be challenging this February, but these ideas are a start. DIY card. While a card may be the smallest purchase on your shopping list, you can still save an average of $3 to $5 on a card by making one yourself or sending a free digital greeting. Dine in. Restaurants are popular options for couples on Valentine's Day, but they can be busy and pricey, and prices may be inflated. Many also offer limited prefix menus. By making a meal at home and choosing less costly ingredients, couples can save a substantial amount of money. Be flexible with jewelry. You don't have to spend a fortune to make an impression with gifts. Diamonds may be a girl's best friend, but other stones are often less costly. Try giving a birthstone as an alternative. If gold is out of your price range, many sterling silver options are just as beautiful. In addition, consider warehouse retailers for jewelry purchases, as they may have lower costs. Frugal flowers. The cost of roses definitely goes up near Valentine's Day, so consider giving another flower. Lilies can be lovely, or maybe that special someone has a signature flower. A flowering plant, which will cost less than many bouquets and will last far beyond Valentine's Day if given care, another alternative to consider. Save on chocolate. Sweet treats are the name of the game, but many popular chocolate boxes can be pricey this time of the year. Plan ahead and keep a stockpile of chocolates from Halloween or Christmas. Then use floral wire or pipe cleaners to turn bite-sized packages into a handmade chocolate bouquet. Otherwise, purchase various chocolate bars and package them with hot chocolate, chocolate cookies, and other decadent offerings in a themed gift basket. Saving on Valentine's Day comes down to being creative and focusing on the sentiment rather than the price. Another one for Valentine's is fall in love with romantic films. Stories of romance are old as love itself. That makes Valentine's Day an ideal time to indulge in the romantic comedy or classic love story. Plenty of films can be enjoyed while snuggled up with a sweetheart on Valentine's Day. The following can serve as romantic starting point for couples looking to cozy up with a good film, not to mention one another this February. Casablanca from 1942, who hasn't heard the Here's Looking at You, Kid, set during World War II and starring Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, and Paul Henreid. The film focuses on the American expatriate who must choose between love or helping a Czech resistance leader escaped to the Germans. Roman Holiday, 1953. Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn with audiences over the romantic classic about a European princess who meets an American reporter one night in Rome. He's looking for a scoop, but ends up getting much a much better reward. Ghost in 1990, while a certain dance-heavy Patrick Swayze vehicle is renowned for its romantic elements, Ghost shows that love can continue beyond, even beyond the grave. And once especially memorable scene that might just inspire couples to make up pottery. Love and Basketball in 2000. Omar Epps and Sanaa Lathan star in this story of two neighborhood kids who aspire to be basketball stars. As they grow up, their skills develop and their relationships grows. However, when one's stardom really skyrockets, it puts a strain on their love. And Bridget Jones' Diary in 2001. Is the in this modern telling of Pride and Prejudice, Renee Zellweger stars as Bridget, who is hopeless of, at love and falls for Hugh Grant's and Daniel Clever. This unfolds as Collins Firth's Mark Darcy is finding his affections for Jones behind seeming indifferences. Run through the community briefs now. Lincoln Douglas King Banquet in Danville. Mary Catherine Roberson, who is currently the Director of Constituent Services of Illinois, 2nd Congressional District for U.S. Congresswoman Robin Kelly, will be the speaker for the 60th Annual Lincoln Douglas King Banquet on Saturday, February 21st at New Life Banquet Center at 5 p.m. The banquet is sponsored by Allen Chapel AME Church of Danville and will also include the presentation of Allen Chapel's Community Service Award to Andres Coleman, the Business Award to Jill Mockaby, the owner of Disendat Beauty Supplies, and the first Outstanding Youth Award to Serenity Reed. For tickets and ad information, contact LDK Banquet Chair Alita Randall, Sandra Finch, or Virginia McKinney at 217-446-5639. Paint and Sip Night in Danville. The City of Danville invites adults to unwind and get creative at a paint and sip night on Friday, February 21st from 5 to 6:30 at the Harrison Park Golf Course Clubhouse. The guided painting experience will be led by local artist Katie Weston and is open to adults 21 and over. All art supplies are included and participants will take home their finished masterpieces. There's only 40 slots open and the cost of the event is $35 per person. For information or to register, contact the City of Danville Parks and Recreation Department at 217-421-2288. In Taste of Deutschland, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, located at 1930 North Bowman Avenue, will host the 30th Taste of Deutschland German Dinner and Dancing on February 21st from 4 to 6:30. That sounds like a busy night. Tickets are $20 for adults and $5 for children under 12. The ticket will include entertainment from German band Keith Strass and Polka Confetti and the adult meal, which includes grilled brats, sauerkraut, red potatoes, green beans, pumpernickel or white bread, drink, and dessert. Contact the church office at 442-5675 or at www.ilcdanville.com for information. And yard waste stickers are available. The City of Danville Public Works Yard Waste announces that 2026 stickers are available for purchase now and are priced at $40 each and may be purchased in person or by phone, debit or credit card accepted. Processing fees may apply at the City of Danville Public Works and the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building. Please note that only city-approved containers displaying a valid 2026 yard waste sticker will be collected during designated toter-only collection periods. This looks like that'll be it for today. It's Thursday, February 12th. It's Abraham Lincoln's birthday and also my Grandpa Lemke's birthday. Although he's dead, happy birthday, Grandpa. Love you. Anyway, I hope you all have a good week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week. Enjoy that lovely weather out there this weekend. Take care. Bye.